This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
An anthology about the bad, the short-lived, and the forgotten shows and events in television history. This is It Was a Thing on TV.
Punisher, control!
Tell me before I change my mind!
I give you Super Train.
Episode 463, submission number 248B. Filmation's Ghostbusters. Filmation's Ghostbusters, not to be confused with the Ghostbusters that we talked about in episode 216, nor the real Ghostbusters, we'll get to that in a little bit, aired in original syndication from September 8th of 1986 to December 5th of 1986 for 65 episodes. That's four times your standard crock block plus one. And it did run until 1988 in syndication, just not original syndication. They just did those 65 episodes.
Let's go!
You heard the theme song, guys. Let's go! As I mentioned before the theme music, we talked in episode 216 about a live-action series titled The Ghostbusters with Forrest Tucker and Larry Storch. This cartoon, Filmation's Ghostbusters, informally, if you will, was not just an update of the old series, but actually a continuation of sorts. Because the characters that the series revolved around, they weren't Jake Kong and Eddie Spencer, as in the 1975 The Ghostbusters. It was their sons, Jake Kong Jr. and, believe it or not, Eddie Spencer Jr. But also, they brought back Tracy the Gorilla. Somehow my Francesa came in there. So yeah, Tracy the Gorilla, who was on the original series, obviously it's not that hard to animate a gorilla. He was part of the antics of this series as well. The show itself, sort of reminiscent of the live action series. Their headquarters was in a haunted mansion, and I do believe that's where the Ghostbusters took place back in 1975, in the same sort of ghost command. In this haunted mansion. And they did have like an overarching job, at least compared to what the Ghostbusters had. The Ghostbusters, they went on different adventures each week, battling some nemesis, usually a monster, Frankenstein's monster, or Dracula, or Headless Horseman, or what have you. But in this series, it focused on the world of the evil ghost wizard, Primeval, and his cast of henchmen. Plus also, in Lou Scheimer fashion, and this goes back to not just He-Man, but also non-Lou Scheimer Filmation shows. I'm thinking specifically like, finally, G.I. Joe. There's always some sort of moral, some lesson to be learned from the episode. What did we learn today? Don't be chasing ghosts you can't handle. I don't know what, but yeah, there's always some little lesson in the end because, you know, they don't want to appear like they're doing this cartoon just to sell cheap toys. Because we know that's the purpose of cartoons back in the 80s and probably even nowadays, you know, when you have Peppa Pig and SpongeBob and Paw Patrol, they're around to sell toys. They're entertainment, but really, number one is let's get the kids to buy the figurines.
Now, hold on a second. Paw Patrol is around also for Oscar Isaac to do some campaign ads against them.
Enough is enough. I'm City Councilman Herb Tangier. Mayor Goodway has put all our lives at risk with her Paw Patrol initiative, and I say it's time to vote her out. Fact, this mayor fired all of our city's police officers, firefighters, and paramedics, and replaced them with a group of six talking dogs. I think that was a bad idea, and I'm not alone. Listen to these concerned citizens.
I was excited about the Paw Patrol at first. Talking dogs who know how to fly jets and drives? Great. But it's become clear that six dogs cannot protect a city roughly the size of San Diego.
Criminals and lowlifes are flocking here because they know there's only one cop patrolling our streets, and it's a dog.
And there's only one firefighter, also a dog. So if there's two fires at the same time, someone's getting screwed, I guess? Who is in charge of this organization? A child?
Yes!
And remember, whenever you need trouble, just yelp for help. So we were talking about the Ghostbusters and how this was actually a sequel series developed by actually two, well, one big animation heavy and then one who went on to do a whole lot of other things. Because Robbie London was really big into the Deke scene in the 80s and 90s. And then Barry O'Brien would go on to work for Hannah Montana, Happy Days, Perfect Strangers, Hanging with Mr. Cooper, and CSI Miami. All of this under the watchful yet frugal eye of Lou Scheimer.
We should say, soon to be, it was a thing on TV Hall of Famer, Lou Scheimer. But actually, I think another thing we need to talk about is why the Ghostbusters, well, it was their name, but you had a film 2 years earlier with that name that was immensely popular. When the movie Ghostbusters was originally produced, somebody didn't look into the fact that there was a TV show 9 years earlier called The Ghostbusters. Not unlike the whole situation with the Cleveland Guardians a couple years ago, if you remember that, where the Cleveland Guardians are like, hey, we've got this beautiful name. And then some roller derby team says, hey, we've been the Cleveland Guardians for years. You can't just take our name. Very similar, if you will. So Columbia and Filmation, they came into an agreement with Columbia using the name in the movie Ghostbusters at a cost of $608,000 plus 1% of the profits from the movie, which kind of weirdly, Columbia claims there were no profits from the movie. Right.
Right.
So that's why this cartoon is called Ghostbusters. But then the cartoon that premiered a week after this was called The Real Ghostbusters, based on the movie. You had The Real Ghostbusters, which in actuality, if you think about it, wasn't the real Ghostbusters. It was the Ghostbusters who are the real Ghostbusters. Am I making any sense, or is this getting a little confusing?
Well, Mike, the kids in 1986, though, would recognize the Ghostbusters from the 1984 movie as the real Ghostbusters, technically. And I got to admit, as a kid, when I saw these two shows, I was confused as hell as to why there were two shows called Ghostbusters, and one Ghostbusters had really nothing to do with the movie, and the other Ghostbusters had everything to do with the movie.
You're not alone. I went through the same thing. Seeing the real Ghostbusters and then seeing these Ghostbusters, it's like, what is this Wish version of Ghostbusters doing on TV? This is nothing like the movie. The animation's horrible. But again, when you know the backstory, okay, it makes sense. This is basically, like I said, a continuation, not really a revival per se, but a continuation of this show from 11 years earlier.
In some markets, I know I was living in one of them, Central Coast of California, where they had the real Ghostbusters in syndication, and I believe this was mid to late 1988, where our local affiliate, who would air the real Ghostbusters in syndication, they would run out of episodes. So what did they do? They started airing this. What? Which, to me, at the tender age of 8, made no sense.
Now, you see, we didn't have that issue here. The way I saw it, the real Ghostbusters here aired, I think, on WUAB 43, which is probably the best independent station in Cleveland, at least at that time. The Ghostbusters, they aired on Channel 19, WOIO, which is a CBS affiliate now, but back in 1986, they were Fox. And they had the cheapest programming on at that time because WOIO had only been around for about two and a half years. So that's sort of where I get the Wish version from. It's like WUAB showed all the good syndicated shows, and 19 WOIO showed like all the really cheap crap. So it's like, yeah, WOIO in 1988 was the Wish version of WUAB. So now that we've got the background of the show out of the way, let's talk about the voices who were on this show. Voicing Jake Kong, among other characters, is Patrick Fraley. He's done voices for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for some time. Voicing Eddie Spencer Jr., again, among other voices, this guy, he may be on the verge of the Hall of Fame. Peter Cullen.
Hey, that's Peter Optimus Prime Cullen. You put some respect on that name.
No, that's Peter. I was on the Hudson Brothers Razzle Dazzle show, Cullen. Get it right. But still, big name.
Oh, Sex Face Mike.
Among other characters.
Hold on, time out.
Somebody very familiar.
Time out.
I stopped. A little behind the scenes description, when we use the term sex face, that's what we call when the Zoom connection or the Skype connection is a little slow and your face, it sort of looks kind of weird, like you sort of kind of just orgasmed. Yeah, aren't you glad to know that? And we use that type of terminology on this show. Well, back to whatever Greg and Chico were talking about.
Yeah, you have to do that whole over again because you, yeah.
The Peter Cullen part?
Yeah, everything okay. Over.
So I'm going to assume that Chico's thing about Optimus Prime went through. Okay.
It went through, yeah. Oh, hold on a second.
Okay.
Chico, why is the whammy in your house?
Visiting? He too is going to Carowinds tomorrow.
When did you discover teleportation, Whammy?
I made a TARDIS out of all the money I stole the last season.
Oh, all the money you've stolen last season. Oh, hold on, Whammy, I got a question. Are you going to be buying Black Tower on Monday?
Yeah, you call the Whammy Tower.
Oh my god, the Whammy Tower. You're going to be all going to use it as your own personal hideout to swim in your money.
No, I'm going to charge
Mr. Black
a ton of money just to stay there.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'm a capitalist too, bitch.
The Whammy Tower. Okay, I think I've got some place I need to go visit when I eventually get to Manhattan. Okay.
You can have a Whammy Museum too in the tower. The Whammy Museum's going to have everything he ever stole on the show.
I did steal that statue of McLean Stevenson.
Oh, that's right, you did.
That's just evil.
Get all cars. You got some gem cars from like Whammy back in your stash somewhere, probably.
They're in my junkyard.
All right. All right, let's get back to what we were going to be talking about, Peter Cullen.
Pieces of crap gym cars. Don't remind me about that. My uncle told me about when he stole those.
Oh, I didn't know your uncle was the whammy on whammy. Okay, so now we get the whole family timeline figured out. Your dad was on the original show, your grandfather was on Second Chance, and your uncle was the whammy on the GSN version. Okay, now it's not really making any more sense. Okay.
The whammy's family history is weird. Too bad.
Next, playing Primeval among other characters, a name very familiar to people who watched another Lou Scheimer production from the mid-80s, Alan Oppenheimer, Skeletor.
He voiced a character named Merlin on this show. It was the Merlin from Arthurian Legend, and he would go on to voice that same character on Prince Valiant.
Ooh.
Voicing Apparitia, again, among other characters, is Linda Gary. She was another person whose voice may be familiar to those who watched other Filmation productions, specifically She-Ra and He-Man. She voiced Allegra. Oh, Allegra, wasn't that the sidekick of She-Ra? No. Or was Allegra She-Ra before her transformation?
Adora is She-Ra before her transformation.
So Allegra has to be like her friend or something like that. I didn't watch much She-Ra when I was a kid, so this is all sort of new to me, if you will.
Allegra sounds like one of those like 1990s weight loss diet things that they would put like in chips or something.
No,
like that's Alestra, not Allegra.
Allegra is what I take in the morning to keep my eyes from watering. It's not working, by the way.
Isn't Allegra an anti-allergy medication of some sort?
Yes.
I'm guessing, yeah.
It's not working, by the way.
It's no. At least it's no, Jose.
That's something else entirely.
Voicing Tracy the Gorilla in this show, and I don't remember if Tracy the Gorilla had a voice in the Ghostbusters, maybe just grunting, but Tracy the Gorilla has a voice here, and it's a name very familiar to those people who have seen Lou Scheimer and Filmation Productions. Because the man himself, Lou Scheimer, voices Tracy the Gorilla. Keep it in-house and save money.
He also voices the Ansabone and the Skelevision.
The Ansabone?
It's the Ghostbusters' in-house talking skull phone.
Oh, that's right, because they have a talking... There's like talking like skeletons all over the place on this show.
Why don't they just call it the Ansaphone? Because, I'm sorry, Ansabone sounds like something that maybe Allegra or Alestra or Viagra would take care of. I don't know.
They needed somebody to copyright so they could sell toys, silly.
How'd that work out for them?
Not good.
Lou Scheimer's still worth, even in his current condition, not with us any longer, he's worth many, 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 many more times than the three of us combined, so maybe we should just be quiet about that. Voicing Shock Clock, again, among other characters. Again, somebody very close to the Filmation Lou Scheimer family. Literally, his daughter, Erica Scheimer. And again, she's in other Filmation productions. She was in both She-Man. She-Man! Oh my God! Damn it. Well, that's what I get for seeing He-Man and She-Ra. She-Man. That's going on the schedule for our network. She-Man and He-Ra. Okay, let me try that again. As much as I enjoyed that, and again, since she's part of the Lou Scheimer and Filmation family, she did voices on other Lou Scheimer Filmation shows, including She-Ra and He-Man. And was Brave Star... Was that Lou Scheimer?
Brave Star was the last Lou Scheimer production to come out of Filmation, to believe it or not.
Okay, I've never seen Brave Star, so that's news to me. Okay. And then, again, playing Belfry and some other voices, a name we've talked about in the past, Susan Blue. And interestingly enough, it does not appear that she has as many connections to Lou Scheimer and Filmation as seemingly like everybody else in the series. Not to say she doesn't, but I don't see her popping up on other Filmation TV shows. I do take that back. She was a voice on Brave Star, as we just mentioned a few moments ago. Oh, we talked about her in the past because she was in Fluffy Dogs. Oh, good heavens.
What a great show that was, Fluffy Dogs.
And much like Peter Cullen, she too is an integral part of the Transformers lore as RC.
She makes a good cola. RC Cola.
Well, I haven't had an RC Cola in years. I think the last time I had it probably was like when I was like 12 or 13 at Shea Stadium back in the day.
We're going to just head into the episode 65 of them. We'll go through it very quickly because it's 65 episodes and we don't want to be here forever.
They all have the same plot. Primeval has an evil plot, sends one of the ghosts to execute on the evil plot. Anzabone picks up a distress call. Jake and Eddie and Tracy go through their transformation sequence. They hop into, not Ghost Buggy, Ghost Buggy Jr.
Ghost Buggy Jr.
Well, sure, it fits with the whole Jr. thing, because these are both the sons of the characters from the live-action series, so why not call the Ghost Buggy Ghost Buggy Jr.? Makes sense to me. And then what happens after they get in the Ghost Buggy?
They go on their hilarity ensuing adventure. And at the end, after they've dematerialized the ghost, we all learn a very important lesson.
And that's the series.
I'm hoping one of the lessons is dogs don't lay eggs.
So no, really, let's go through this really quickly, even though Chico broke down the general layout of every episode. Episode 1, I'll be a son of a Ghostbuster. After Primeval escapes from his prison and kidnaps their fathers, the Ghostbusters learn of an ancient stone tablet that has clues of their father's whereabouts. It takes them to Camelot, but Primeval learns of this and sends Sir Trancelot and Frightmare to stop them. Episode 2, Frights of the Round Table. The Ghostbusters arrive at Ghost Command in the future and find a broken piece of the stone tablet, which holds a clue to where their fathers are being held hostage. Primeval finds out and sends Long John Scarecrow with a zombie bomb to turn them into mind-controlled zombies. After narrowly escaping, the Ghostbusters go back to their time to study tablet and find out that it was broken into pieces and scattered across different points in history. They arrive at Stonehenge to retrieve the second piece of the tablet and battle Sir Trancelot, who flees to medieval England with the Ghostbusters hot on his trail. Episode 3, No Pharaoh at All. The Ghostbusters go into Sir Trancelot's haunted castle in medieval England to obtain a piece of the tablet that he took from Stonehenge. After defeating him and his pet dragon Sparky, the Ghostbusters head for ancient Egypt and battle Airhead and Apparitia. I'm just going to mention something right off the bat. I like how there's continuity here.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, the series began with a 5-part miniseries.
Oh, great. So you mean by episode 6, it's going to go all over the place?
That's about the size of it.
Thanks for the warning. Episode 4, The Secret of Mastodon Valley. After rescuing Tracy from Apparitia's trap, the Ghostbusters find Eddie, who is being worshipped as a pharaoh in a case of mistaken identity. They retrieve the third tablet piece and head for Mastodon Valley, which exists at the beginning of time. While there, they encounter ghosts of dinosaurs and the missing link, who rules Mastodon Valley with an iron fist. Episode 5, The Ones Who Save the Future. After the Ghostbusters escape the clutches of the missing link, Primeval gets fed up with his previous defeats at their hands and teleports the Haunt Quarters to Mastodon Valley in an attempt to defeat them himself. The Ghostbusters get kidnapped and taken to the Haunt Quarters. Jake escapes the prison cell he and his friends are being held in and finds the last piece of the tablet in Primeval's possession. After Jake switches around the control tusks on the Bone Troller to send everyone to Futura's time, the Ghostbusters head to where the fathers are being held captive, which is the mine that Primeval was once trapped in. Primeval tries to stop them and gets locked in the mine's vault again after Jake tricks him. So now after our little 5-episode arc, now we're going to go all over the place, starting with episode 6, Witch's Stew. Primeval teams up with the Witch of Salem's ghost to distract the Ghostbusters long enough to steal their dematerializer. When Futura goes to the present to aid them, Primeval sends her to 1692, the year of the Salem witch trials.
What is uh-oh, but in Italian?
Episode 7, Mummy Dearest. Primeval sends Airhead to scare away oil workers so that his various transportations will come to a halt. Episode 8, Wacky Wax Museum. A sculptor at a wax museum creates statues of the Ghostbusters to honor them for their heroism and invites them to a presentation that's occurring the next day. Primeval becomes jealous and thinks that if he cannot have a statue, the hero shouldn't either. Episode 9, Statue of Liberty. When the Ghostbusters go to Liberty Island to celebrate the naturalization of Jake's grandfather as a U.S. citizen, Primeval steals the Statue of Liberty and replaces it with the symbol of fear made in his likeness. Episode 10, The Ransom of Eddie Spencer. Primeval kidnaps Eddie and ends up regretting it due to Eddie's constant clumsy antics. Episode 11, Eddie Takes Charge. When Jake meets Jessica for an evening dinner, he leaves Eddie in charge of Ghost Command. Primeval sets a trap by luring Eddie and Tracy to the small town of Goldmine with a fake distress call. Episode 12, The Great Ghost Gorilla. Tracy gets kidnapped by a pair of robots and a flying saucer and taken to the planet Gorillium. He is led to the throne room of Mighty Tong, an ape emperor ghost who intends to use Tracy's body measurements as a model to create an army of super ghost gorillas.
Wait, an army of super ghost gorillas?
I don't even know how to react to that. What would Francesa do if he knew there is a whole army of super ghost gorillas?
I don't know. What if there was an army of also super ghost gorillas and super ghost horses?
Moving on. Episode 13, A Friend in Need. Big Evil takes over the Haunt Quarters and Primeval holds the entire city hostage to force the Ghostbusters to help him reclaim his home. Episode 14, No Mo Snow. Primeval uses a ghost dragon to melt Earth's ice caps at the North Pole and cause global flooding. Hey, Lou Scheimer, if you just waited about 5 years, nature will do that on its own. Ha 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 ha. Hashtag global warming.
No, we have to say climate change. That's the politically correct term.
Hashtag climate change.
Hashtag Climate Pledge Arena, the home of Seattle Kraken.
Episode 15, Primeval's Good Deed. Big Evil zaps Primeval with an arcane spell that curses him to fade away into nothingness. The only way for Primeval to break the spell and ensure his own survival is for him to perform a genuine, heartfelt good deed. Well, that wouldn't be happening for 50 more episodes when this series gets canceled. Oh, I'm sorry, moving on to episode 16. Simon's Revenge. In the 30th century, evil cyborg Simon attacks the Starship Crusader by shrinking his ghost minion Spectre and sending her to wreak havoc inside the ship's computer. The Ghostbusters time travel to the future to save Futura and her brother, who are currently on board. Episode 17, The Headless Horseman Caper. We talked about the Headless Horseman on the original series. Here's the Headless Horseman's appearance in this new series. The Headless Horseman betrays Primeval to warn the Ghostbusters of an ancient Aztec medallion that would make Primeval the most powerful force on Earth if he got his hands on it. Episode 18, Banish That Banshee. The wailing Banshee arrives in the present day from 13th century Ireland to destroy all of Earth's telephone poles. The Ghostbusters travel back in time to find a leprechaun, the only thing capable of defeating her and sending her back to the past. What did telephone poles ever do to a Banshee? No, seriously. Ponder that as we go to episode 19, Roller Ghoster. Primeval sends Apparitia and Brat-a-Rat to haunt the newly opened ghost park to ensure that people will be afraid of ghosts instead of using their images for fun and amusement.
It doesn't look like Scooby-Doo at Carowinds.
I was waiting for a Carowinds comment, and you did a good one.
Oh, sorry. I meant Wilderness Run at Camp Snoopy.
Episode 20, He Went Brat-Away. Brat-a-Rat develops a romantic relationship with his next-door neighbor, Brat-a-Rina, a woman who is the same creature as him. In an effort to win her love, he invades Buckingham Palace and uses Float-Zart summon an army of ghosts to capture Big Ben. Episode 21, The Looking Glass Warrior. Jessica and her uncle are captured by robots from a world accessible only by mirrors. Episode 22, Laser and Future Rock. Futura's nephew, who leads a rock band, wants to perform on a planet which is believed to have a lot of fans. Futura, however, sees the planet as hostile. Episode 23, Runaway Choo Choo. Primeval plans to kidnap Dr. Miller, the most recent winner of the Global Peace Prize, when he's on a train to Oslo, Norway. He sends Apparitia and Scared Stiff to make sure that Miller's train never reaches its destination. Episode 24, Dynamite Dinosaurs. Primeval sets a sight on the recently discovered dinosaur egg that's about to hatch. He sends Mysteria back in time to fetch more dinosaurs for his army, with which he plans to rule the world. Episode 25, Ghost Bunglers. Primeval works with Marcus Fantomas, a Roman gladiator ghost in 49 BC, to steal Julius Caesar's wreath, a sacred artifact that has been in Madame Y's family for many generations. With the wreath's power, Primeval can control the past, present, and future.
By the way, Madame Y is one of the Ghostbusters' friends. She is a Roma person who can portend the future.
Speaking of the future, episode 26, My Present to the Future. Cope, a boy who has a passion for astronomy, is terrified when he sees Fangster in his telescope. The Ghostbusters travel to the year 2960 to ask Futura why Primeval would be interested in scaring him. Episode 27, The Beastly Buggy. Jake enters a cross-country charity race to raise money for a school for the blind. Primeval decides to enter the race with the Beastly Buggy and its driver Hot Rod to defeat Ghost Buggy once and for all. Episode 28, Belfry Leads the Way. Primeval learns that the rumors he's heard about a race of mole people living underground are true. He plans to conquer them and subsequently rule the world from beneath the surface. Ghostbusters head to the mole people's cave entrance at the North Pole and bring Belfry with them due to his cave expertise. Episode 29, The Battle for Ghost Command. A shady businessman dumps strange chemicals into the sewers as a way to discard them. The fumes from the dumped chemicals cause monsters and animated objects to become aggressive. Episode 30, Going Ape. Primeval's cousin, Count de la Grumpette, makes a clone of Tracy to frame the Ghostbusters for theft. Episode 31, The Haunting of Gizmo. Primeval captures Futura's brother and reprograms his robots to destroy Ghost Command. Episode 32, Ghost Snappers. Primeval kidnaps Madame Y to lure the Ghostbusters into haunt quarters and brainwash them into his loyal servants. Episode 33, Inside Out. The Ghostbusters travel to the center of the Earth to battle Primeval and an army of rock soldiers before they can make an attack on Washington, D.C. from underground using a futuristic laser beam.
Wait about 35 years.
Now we're over the halfway point, thank heavens. Episode 34, The Sleeping Dragon. Haunter steals a gem from a dragon statue in China. This causes the statue to come to life and wreak havoc. To gain the dragon's trust and help in reclaiming the gem, Futura, Jessica, and Tracy must pass a series of tests for strength, speed, and skill. Episode 35, The Phantom of the Big Apple. Ghosts are swarming around New York City, and a mysterious specter known as the Phantom of the Big Apple is responsible. He invites Jessica to his office and gives her an ultimatum. He'll explain how he's scaring everyone out of their wits right before he forces the entire city to surrender. The Phantom of the Big Apple. What was the big Broadway show at that time? Huh, I wonder.
Cats?
Sure, Cats. Episode 36, Shades of Dracula. Count Dracula returns to Transylvania after a long absence to kidnap the Duchess and her chauffeur and reclaim his kingdom. Episode 37, Outlaw In-Laws. Primeval kidnaps Belfry to amplify his Belfry blast and conquer the world. At the same time, Primeval's sister, Prime Ordeal, and nephew, Snookums, come for a visit and hamper his plan at every turn. Episode 38, Our Buddy Fuddy. Primeval's henchmen try to capture Merlin, but they capture Fuddy by mistake. Episode 39, Train to Doom-de-Doom-Doom. Doom-de-Doom-Doom. See, it sounds better when I say it that way. Not trained to doom-de-doom-doom. Trained to doom-de-doom-doom. Prince Otis of Petronia contacts the Ghostbusters after hearing a radio transmission from Primeval, who plans to steal the royal crown and make Haunter king so he can indulge in Petronian gold. The Ghostbusters have to catch up with Haunter and Mysteria before they reach Petronia on the Orient Express. Episode 40, The Princess and the Troll. Prince Delwyn and Princess Gwendolyn of Fairytale Land are about to be married. The wedding is interrupted by a teleporting sorcerer who transforms the prince into a troll and intends to seize the kingdom for himself. Episode 41, Second Chance.
Wait, you're talking about my grandfather again? No, go back to sleep.
Obviously, we're talking about Matthew Perry.
R.I.P. Raffy. No, wait. Hold on a second. We're talking about that terrible show from 2016.
Right. The Tooth Scaries are ordered by Primeval to steal the Diamond of the Nile from a museum. Big Tooth, Little Tooth, and Cavity are interested, but Flossie has her doubts. What the hell types of names are these? Big Tooth, Little Tooth, Cavity, and Flossie? Those sound like your basic, standard, cheap, generic Lou Scheimer names for a character. Big Tooth, Little Tooth, Cavity, and Flossie. Can the Ghostbusters give a second chance to the ghosts that were easily misled and are never really evil to begin with? Episode
42.
Tracy Come Back. Primeval captures Tracy and tries to alter the memories of the gorilla in order to corrupt him. I didn't know Primeval is Mike Francesa trying to corrupt gorillas. Never mind. Episode 43. Doggone Werewolf. Fangster finds a magic bone that can turn dogs into werewolves. Episode 44, That's No Alien. Primeval pretends to be an alien to deceive the future Earthlings. Episode 45, Scare Plane. Primeval steals an experimental space plane from Galaxy Airlines. The company president contacts the Ghostbusters to get it back before it can be used as a weapon.
Now hold on a second. Galaxy Airlines. What kind of a name is that?
It's a Lou Scheimer name.
I understand that. Like what? Is this airline traveling to the galaxy? Is it kind of like how that airline worked in Airplane 2?
It's going to have a hard time traveling to another galaxy if it's only traveling through the air.
Episode 46, The Ghost of Don Quixote. After a trio of thugs breaks into a family's home, the ghost of Don Quixote emerges from a children's book to scare off the raiders. The father goes to his businessman friend Enrique for protection. Enrique decides to get rid of Don Quixote to access the copper mine buried underneath the family's land. Episode 47, The White Whale. A pirate ship attacks a phantom prison planet in search of the ghost of Moby Dick. The pirates kidnap Captain Ahab's ghost, who is now friends with the beast, to force Moby Dick to work for them and plunder every space liner in the galaxy. Episode 48, Country Cousin. Mr. Squid wants to join Primeval's minions, but he is easily turned down. He goes on to try to capture the Ghostbusters on his own in an attempt to prove his worth. Episode 49, Night of Terror. Porky's friend Gene unwittingly hacks into Primeval's supercomputer. The friend gets captured by the Night of Terror as a result. Episode 50, The Girl Who Cried Vampire. Primeval sends two vampires to Moon Base Alpha in the year 2186 to destroy a food source that will eliminate world hunger on Earth. When a girl known for lying out of boredom sees the vampires changed into human disguises, nobody believes her, except Eddie. Together, they must thwart the vampires' plan and save the entire Moon Base.
Hold on. Moon Base Alpha in the year 2186? I thought that went missing in the year 1999. Because, you know, Space 1999.
That's future installment Space 1999, thank you. Episode 51, Little Big Bat. Belfry is frustrated at not being allowed to go on ghost-busting missions most of the time. When he blames himself for being too small and wishes he was bigger than the Ghostbusters, a goblin spying on Ghost Command overhears him outside the window. After the goblin reports back to the haunt quarters, Primeval disguises himself as Monroe the Mad Magician and proceeds to grant Belfry his greatest wish, with an amulet that shrinks the Ghostbusters to a size small enough to fit in a mason jar. Monroe the Mad Magician? They're able to get Jim J. Bullock? Episode 52, really roughing it. The Ghostbusters and Corky go to the country for a little trip. While the Ghostbusters settle down in a meadow, Corky spots and explores an abandoned shack. He stumbles across Benny and Clyde, two ghosts who have recently stolen a goblin statue and are waiting to deliver it to Primeval. Episode 53, The Bad Old Days. Primeval's new machine turns back time to a millennia ago when Babylonians roamed the earth. Episode 54, The Curse of the Diamond of Gloom. Haunter steals the Diamond of Gloom from its temple. Unless the Ghostbusters can return the diamond to its rightful place before the full moon rises, everyone on Earth will be cursed and turned to stone.
Well, it sounds like the plot of Conan the Adventurer, if you ask me.
Now, hold on a second. I just realized something. We have a character named Corky. Well, you know what that means. Play it.
You won't believe what happened!
Episode 55, The Bind That Ties. A rock monster named Voodan terrorizes construction workers that he thinks are destroying his jungle home. When Eddie accidentally handcuffs himself to Voodan, both of them have to work together and save Voodan's jungle home. Episode 56, Like Father, Like Son. Sir Trancelot heads back to the past and captures Jake's great-grandfather. Primeval then turns the great-grandfather into a werewolf, which slowly starts to affect the man's descendants. Episode 57, The Fourth Ghostbuster. After passing a ghost ID test at Ghost Command, Corky lies to his friend and brags that he's become the fourth Ghostbuster to impress him. Both of them steal Ghost Buggy to do some ghost busting of their own. After they end up at Haunt Quarters and go inside, Ghost Buggy returns to Ghost Command to get help and save them. You won't believe what happens. Episode 58, Wither Why? The sorcerer Wormroot seeks to add Madam Why's mystical powers to his own and become unstoppable. After Why gets kidnapped by Wormroot's pet snake Cottonmouth, the bats that live in her wagon call the Ghostbusters for help. Episode 59, Cold Winter's Night. Primeval diverts a meteorite to land in the South Pole and cause a volcano to erupt. The eruption pushes the Earth away from the sun. Six more. We're almost there. Episode 60, Father Knows Beast. Two kids in a Scottish castle stumble across a magical urn hidden behind one of the bricks in the walls. They accidentally release Slork, king of the trolls, who has been imprisoned inside the urn for 40 years. He seeks to rebuild his army and get revenge on the Ghostbusters who sealed him away. Episode 61, Back to the Past. A witch turns the Ghostbusters into 5-year-old kids so that they won't be strong enough to fight back against Primeval and his minions during their Halloween haunt. Episode 62, Pretend Friends. Primeval orders Long John, Scarecrow, and Apparitia to steal Dr. Ricer's submarine and dig for a government decoding box at the bottom of the ocean. When Apparitia and Scarecrow arrive at Ricer's house, which is close to where the sub is docked, Apparitia turns his daughter's imaginary friends into ghosts to prevent her from calling for help. After she escapes, Ricer's daughter stows away on the sub to try and prevent it from falling into the wrong hands. Episode 63, The Haunted Painting. Eddie receives some magical painting equipment from Primeval and paints a picture with it. The picture he paints is a virtual world that can trap anyone who enters it. Episode 64, Maze Caves. Primeval tricks the Ghostbusters into thinking there's treasure on Planet Doom. Eddie, who is desperate to get Jake something for his birthday, goes there with Tracy and Ghost Buggy in search of the perfect gift. And lastly, episode 65, The Way You Are. Eddie bungles an attempt to dematerialize Fibface and Apparitia, which forces Jake to step in and save him. When Count Freeze sets a trap at Castle Blackstone, Eddie, none the wiser, decides to redeem himself and prove his worth by going in alone. When his friends find out and try to save Eddie, they get captured and frozen inside giant ice blocks. To save Jake, Tracy, and Jessica, Eddie must find the fabled Wizard of Blackstone and call upon his power. And that's the series.
Let's be honest. The show itself was released because of the movie from 2 years ago. But Lou Scheimer recalled this as perhaps one of the biggest reasons why this show, which did release 4 comics and a line of toys, mind you, was destined to failure. In a 2007 interview with writer RJ Carter, and by the way, special shout out to cartoonresearch.com, we had the gorilla as part of our original show. They put a black man in the team. That black man, of course, being Winston Zeddemore. And I got a phone call from a nice man, and he was horrified that we turned the African-American into an ape. And I tried to explain, no, you don't understand. That was in our original picture. It was sad. I couldn't convince the guy that we hadn't somehow done something terrible. And therein lies the problem. Because in 1986, when somebody mentions Ghostbusters, they're not thinking of the 1975 live action series from Filmation. They're thinking about the movie.
And as we mentioned earlier, people of a certain age, specifically the three of us, we were all sort of confused by this. I mentioned earlier, jokingly, talking about Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters, if you will, the 1984 movie, or the animated version of the 1984 movie, that it was the Wish version. Oh, we've got Ghostbusters at home. And what do we actually have at home? We have Lou Scheimer's Ghostbusters, which, yes, they're not the Ghostbusters we know and love, but they're the original Ghostbusters. But this show did have a bit of a legacy in terms of being on the air quite a bit. As I said previously, this show, even though original episodes ended before 1987, it did air in syndication until 1988. In addition to the syndication until 1988, this series aired on CBN, the Family Channel, Cubo. I didn't know it aired on Cubo, but also internationally, it aired on ABC in Australia. It's been released on DVD. There's been episodes released on VHS. Mill Creek Entertainment released the series in 2007. Now, admittedly, that is 17 years ago. You might have a little bit of difficulty finding a series that old, but they did release Volume 1, which is 32 episodes, in February of 2007. And then just about 5 months later, July of 2007, they released the other 33 episodes in a second volume.
And I know Universal Home Video has put out on DVD some select episodes of Filmation's Ghostbusters because they now own the rights to the Lou Scheimer catalog.
Which would explain why DreamWorks Animation did She-Ra.
Because DreamWorks Animation is now owned by Universal.
And if you're interested in those DVDs I mentioned, you can get them on eBay, but it looks like the going rate for each volume, and remember there's 2 volumes, is about $70 a piece. So if you want the whole series, if you got about $150 lying around, it could be yours. But I'm sure Greg has something else that you can pick up too if you're interested. Isn't that right, Greg?
Oh, guys, you're not going to believe what I got for you because we're going to play an edition of non-eBay Price is Right. Okay, guys, last year at a card show at Hofstra University, I ran into this. Now, I go, sometimes there's this guy who sells a lot of autographed 8x10s of various celebrities and sports figures, and there's like a bargain bin of like autographed pictures. So I went searching in this autographed bin, and this is what I saw. Now, look in the chat, guys. Now, Mike, can you describe the picture? that I just sent you.
F Troop Larry Storch autographed with New York Knicks Patrick Ewing.
Now, can you describe the picture, Mike?
So, Patrick Ewing, in case you don't know, is very tall. 7-footer, center for the Knicks for seemingly ever, it seems, in the 80s and 90s. And Larry Storch, he's not 7 feet tall. He's not 6 feet tall. And Larry Storch is looking up to Patrick Ewing. And I don't know, Patrick Ewing sort of looks like he's ready to sort of strangle Larry Storch. He's got his hands like hovering over his neck. I mean, not really close. I mean, it's probably a good 18 inches to 2 feet from his neck, but looks like it might be a strangle grip. And it's autographed on the top left side of the photo, closer to Patrick Ewing's head. Not even really near Larry Storch, if you will.
So, Mike, I'm going to start bidding with you. How much would you bid on this picture?
A lot more if it was autographed by Patrick Ewing, because Patrick Ewing is not a frequent signer. Now, when did you see this?
Last year.
Was Larry Storch dead at the time?
He was dead at the time.
$50.
Chico.
$25.
You both overbid. I figured.
Really? Okay.
Mike, lower than $25.
$20.
Chico.
$5.
$10. How about that?
$10. Wow. I would spend $10 on that.
Now, I said bargain bin. That's the key. It was in a pile of $10 autographed 8x10s. But here's the kicker. You know what I found in that pile of 8x10s back in April of 2023? Chico, I want you to look at this.
I'm taking a look at this. Oh, that is a picture of the late, great Virgil.
Autographed by Virgil. And it says, best wishes, Virgil.
That's not Virgil at Olive Garden.
No, it's him in his tuxedo as Ted DiBiase's bodyguard.
Now, did that run you more or less than $10?
No, it was $10.
Oh, so you got it for the same price as you could have gotten Larry Storch. And that's you decided right. Not to get a Larry Storch. That shows what type of person you are.
I'm not going to pass up an autographed picture of Virgil, okay? This is going to be, like, in my will, okay? I'm not going to tell who's going to get this autographed picture of Virgil in my will, but I will say whoever gets this picture is going to be very happy. And the best part is, this picture is an 8x10 of his classic WWF card back in the early 90s.
Boy, you know, I wish I had to worry about such problems in my will. Who do I give this card to? No, I'm not doing that. I'm just, like, giving it to my family and, like, do whatever you want with it. Hold on to it. Sell it. Just don't sell the entire collection for $50 or I'm going to haunt your butt every day for the rest of your lives.
Hey, isn't it time for a Match Game Hollywood Squares Hour report?
Sure, why not?
It's time for this weekend Match Game Hollywood Squares Hour History. We are wrapping up March of 1984 with another very special week.
It's St. Elsewhere Week, and we legit have 8 people from St. Elsewhere. This isn't 7 people in Gallagher. This isn't like 5 people and Arsenio Hall. These are all people from St. Elsewhere in 1983-84. Kim Miori, Eric Laneuville, Ed Begley Jr., Norman Lloyd, Howie Mandel, Nancy Stafford, Terrence Knox, and Ellen Bree. Yeah, 8 legit actors and actresses from St. Elsewhere. And, oh, good news, Greg.
Yeah?
Johnny Olsen announced the last 3 episodes of this week.
I did. I announced the last 3 episodes of this week.
That's why I just said you announced the last 3 episodes of this week.
Damn straight. Hey, Greg, you have something to show, Mike? That's right, Johnny, I do. Look what I just pulled out for this week.
Oh, wow!
The Norman Lloyd Star Trek The Next Generation autograph card that I got last year.
Is that a Rittenhouse?
Yeah, it's a Rittenhouse.
Nice. He has a beautiful autograph. Wow.
Yeah.
Great. Now I'm going to have to go on eBay and spend more money. Anyhow, this week we had just two wins. We had a $20,000 win with John on Tuesday, and we had a $2,000 win, the rare $2,000 win, 100 times 20, on Thursday. So again, it's still a little bit dry. It said the last couple of weeks there were no winners. Now we had two winners this week, albeit one of them very small. Next week.
Angela.
I guarantee Angela's not going to be on next week. Now, next week, we have a number of television legends and some returning visitors to the show, including somebody who, if I remember correctly on this week, wore a lot of vegetables. Not joking about that. We'll talk about that next week. Bring it back to me to close up the show. All right, that's going to be it for this episode, but please remember, you can always go to our website over at itwasathingontv.com, where you can listen to all our previous episodes, 462 of them. And we also have mini-sodes, live shows, extended versions. Greg did a kind of sort of before the show, but not really a before the show presents thing last week. And we're going to add more in the next couple of weeks. And as you heard in the beginning of the show, we're going to have a sort of re-release of episode 216, The Ghostbusters from 1975. So that might be a nice compliment to this episode. And please remember, we're on all social media, including Instagram and Threads and Mastodon over at It Was a Thing on TV. But don't do that for Facebook, because we're at It Was a Thing on TV podcast. And please, if you look for us on Mastodon, you've got to search for us at It Was a Thing on TV at tvwatch.party. And remember, you can subscribe to the podcast wherever fine podcasts can be streamed, including Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Audible, and also independent podcast players. They work just as well. And please don't forget, we're on YouTube, where you can like and subscribe to our channel. And don't forget to hit that notification bell to stay informed of all future uploads on that channel, including what's coming up on the podcast next time. Next time, and Chico just referred to this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, history almost didn't happen 20 years ago. There was a very famous happening, and it happened through most of 2004, and the 20th anniversary of the start of this event is coming up real soon.
And it just so happens to coincide with the 60th anniversary of the show in which he did it. A software engineer from Seattle who became a contestant. The contestant who became a champion. The champion who became an icon. An icon who became a legend. A legend who became the host. And here's the kicker. It almost didn't happen.
And if it didn't happen, we wouldn't have learned about Icelandic incest.
That's your takeaway? Icelandic incest. Okay, how do I follow up after that? Well, we're going to have a live show next week as well, because a certain league that Greg has been jonesing for, let's say, and by the way, that's a little hint regarding the first episode next week, jonesing, wink, 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 a certain league that Greg has been jonesing for a while now, for the last couple of months, it's going to start next week. We're going to have a live show about that. But also, it's an event around these parts unlike any other. It's the night that all of us come dressed in our tuxedos and wear our fancy clothes and bathe and actually like smell good and look decent for the podcast. It's the It Was a Thing on TV Hall of Fame induction for 2024. Find out which of your favorite stars are going to go into our little Hall of Fame. Boy, I think we just mentioned one earlier this episode.
And let me just say this. Our Hall of Fame is more legitimate than the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame. Because I can assure you, None of these people ever wrestled at the Tokyo Dome.
Dave Meltzer is going to give our Hall of Fame at least 2¾ stars, even though it would be a solid 3.5 stars if it was at the Tokyo Dome. But anyhow, next week we have one show and we have one live show and we have one induction coming your way right here at It Was a Thing on TV. As always, please stay safe, be good to each other, and come back for all that good stuff coming next week.
Wow!
Ghostbuster toys, so much fun, it's spooky. Play Ghostbusters.
Let's go!
With your own play figures.
Come on there, ghost to bust.
Jake has a magic backpack and ghost gun. Primeval has a real cape.
Look out, humans.
Pull yourself together, you rusty wreck.
That's spooky!
Ghostbuster figures from Shopper. So much fun, it's spooky.
One related note to end the show. Since we just heard the Ghostbusters toy commercial, back in December of last year, so 3 months ago, the Filmation Ghostbusters Command Center never assembled complete in box. It was on eBay with buy it now of $6,000 or best offer. It sold for $3,500. This wasn't used for eBay prices, right? Because I told Greg and Chico about this a week earlier. But yeah, I think the lesson there is keep your toys from the 80s intact and you can make a fortune on eBay. Or maybe just don't touch the toys and you'll make a fortune on eBay. And-